He wasn't sure, he said, how much longer his church would continue to serve that function. Most of his better-off members had moved away to tidier neighborhoods, suburban life. They still drove back every Sunday, out of loyalty or habit, but the nature of their involvement had changed. They hesitated to volunteer for anything, a tutoring program, a home visitation, that might keep them in the city after dark. They wanted more security around the church, a fenced-in parking lot to protect their cars. Reverend Phillips expected that once he passed on, many of those members would stop coming back. They would start new churches, tidy like their new streets. He feared that the link to the past would finally be broken, that the children would no longer retain the memory of that first circle, around a fire. Reverend Phillips' voice began to trail off. I felt he was getting tired. I asked him for an introduction to other pastors who might be interested in organizing, and he mentioned a few names. There was a dynamic young pastor, he said, a Reverend Jeremiah Wright Jr., pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ, who might be worth talking to. His message seemed to appeal to young people like me. Reverend Phillips gave me his number, and as I got up to leave, I said, "If we could just bring 50 churches together, Reverend, we might be able to reverse some of the trends you've been talking about." Reverend Phillips nodded and said, "You might be right, Mr. Obama. You have some interesting ideas. But you see, the churches around here are used to doing things their own way. Sometimes the congregations even more than the pastors." He opened the door for me, then paused. "By the way, what church do you belong to?"
I attend different services.
"But you're not a member anywhere."
"Still searching, I guess."
"Well, I can understand that. It might help your mission if you had a church home, though. It doesn't matter where, really. What you're asking from pastors requires us to set aside some of our more priestly concerns in favor of prophecy. That requires a good deal of faith on our part. It makes us want to know just where you're getting yours from. Faith, that is." Outside, I put on my sunglasses and walked past a group of older men who had set out their lawn chairs on the sidewalk for a game of bid whist. It was a gorgeous day, 75 in late September. Instead of driving straight to my next appointment, I decided to linger, letting my legs hang out the open car door, watching the old men play their game. They didn't talk much, these men. They reminded me of the men Gramps used to play bridge with, the same thick, stiff hands, the same thin socks, and improbably slender shoes, the same beads of sweat along the folds of their necks, just beneath their flat caps. I tried to remember the names of those men back in Hawaii, what they had done for a living, wondering what residue of themselves they had left in me. They had been mysteries to me then, those old black men. That mystery was part of what had brought me to Chicago. And now that I was leaving Chicago, I wondered if I understood them any better than before.